will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Do you believe in life after addiction? You better believe it. Now, the host of Life After Addiction.
All right, welcome back. That's Bruce Stanley.
Glad to be here.
I'm Adam Comer. This is Life After Addiction. Hey, guys, we are so thankful that you are listening. As always, hey, it really helps us out if you subscribe or comment or rate this podcast. It really helps us out with the podcast algorithms. I don't even know what I'm talking about, Bruce. But I know it's good when you go and do that. If you like and share, and
it helps
rate
for more people to know.
Yeah,
you know, the good stuff we're sharing.
Yeah, and as always, we love and welcome feedback, comments, suggestions for episodes. That's info@spring2life.net. But today, Bruce, we're going to talk about being still in adversity. Whoo-wee.
Yeah, that's a tough one, especially as men.
Yeah, being still in adversity. Why don't you lead us in?
Yeah, well, you know, I think men were just designed to fight. You know, we're designed to take care of business.
Yeah,
you know,
business.
And so we're doers. You know, we're the hunters. You know, we're the ones that provide. We're the all this stuff that God made for us to be in the right way. We tend to use in the wrong way, and so it's very difficult. A lot of the guys that have come out of our program still fight with this stuff. And we talk about this stuff on a daily basis sometimes, even with the guys that are in our program. And yeah. I'll kind of wrap it in a scenario like this. So I've been in a bubble at rehab.
And heard this 1,000 times.
Everything that's been poured into me, I've been receiving, and I've been growing, and I've been changing. But the world that I left is exactly the same.
That's right.
When I left it. When I get back out into that world, people aren't going to know the things that's changed in my life, especially those who are near and dear to me. And the first adversity we're going to be confronted with are those who want to challenge or maybe just question, you know, our growth and things that may have or may not have changed in our lives. So because it's all, everybody's dealing with trust issues, right?
Yeah.
Because let's face it, we've done some things in the wreckage of our addiction that has caused many people to not trust us. I mean, that's fair to say. But what ends up happening a lot of times is that we go out kind of with our fists up, just ready to start receiving punches. And we're not willing to take them. And so when we're faced with that adversity, usually what we want to do is fight back. And I'm not saying fighting back like physically or meaning people harm or even with an agenda to hurt people back, but just to defend ourselves, you know, and maybe to say, you know, that's not me anymore, or I've learned from that, or, you know, give me a chance. I want to prove myself again, or these types of things. And so a lot of times we end up doing things that are in a proving nature.
Mm, good point.
And the things that we'll say with our mouths will be to possibly correct people. And here's one thing that I'll say, just for the sake of those who are trying their earnest to do it the right way, and that, you know, we're wanting to share with people the good things that God had shared with us.
Yeah.
And righteously, we're just wanting to share that, and we want to say that to the people that we love so that they would know in the same way that we've grown that they might be able to grow. But they haven't received that. Yeah. And the way they receive it most likely is that you're better than them. You're trying to teach them when you're the one who's in the wrong because of all the things that you've done, and what gives you the right to try to bring, you know, scripture to me, or the things that God has taught you that, you know, you're implying that I should do, and these types of things. And it's just not going to set well.
Yeah.
Even though your motives may be all good. And so God tells us to be still. And I want to make a comment based on something I said in 2 episodes ago where I said that God wants us not to wait.
Yeah.
What I meant in the context of what I was saying there was that sometimes we got to do stuff.
Yeah.
while we wait on God. And God never wants us to be still in the sense of
sitting on our hands,
yeah. not praying, not doing anything. There are things that God wants us to do in stillness.
Yeah.
And this is what we're going to talk about today. So I'm not contradicting myself.
Yeah.
And what God wants us to do in stillness is to trust that He is working on others in the midst of what He has us doing, and that it is not our job to prove ourselves to others in the way we would typically go about doing that. Like, I'm going to do something so that they see it.
Yeah, then, I was going to say, that's another way. You talk about the guys, the first adversity, and then need to prove themselves, so they're using words. I've also seen guys and girls, but got people overly trying to do works to prove I'm a different person. And it's like they're burning out, man. They're just all these things and on to the next. I'm doing all these great things. But here's the heart check. Here's the meter of what was your motive. If there's not like recognition or attaboy or, you know, just if it's not noticed, and somewhere in your heart, you feel as though you're failing. And so you're like, I just challenge there. Check your heart while you're doing these. Now, we just talked about being righteous and doing things. But yeah, just check your motives and why. If you're called to do something, do it. But it's not, you're not called to do everything.
Yeah. Right? And we did an episode a while back, I think first season, about, you know, proving yourself and trying to do these things the wrong way. But what I'm trying to focus on here is that there's a lot of things sometimes that we haven't allowed ourselves to forgive, which is a big thing about others, and even rightfully knowing that, hey, on their side of the street, they've got to grow, they've got to do some things, they've got to recognize some parts that they were playing in all of this, but it's not my place to point those things out. In fact, the more I try to do that, the worse it's going to end up for me.
Yeah.
And what I have to do is I have to do what God's calling me to do, and trust that God is working those things out. In fact, the Bible talks about in relationships between a husband and a wife specifically that the one spouse could lead the other spouse to salvation simply not doing that, but by living out their own faith and the other recognizing that. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
But there's an opportunity there that if you do it the right way, which is living out your faith, not trying to correct other people or even pointing out the things that they've done wrong in the sense of how they have to grow like you've grown, or wanting them to be up to speed that you're at in your faith where they're not.
To your standard, yeah.
Yeah, and that kind of stuff, that you've got to trust that God's working those things out. What will happen more than not is those things will be accomplished if you don't do it that way and instead live those things out yourself, doing the things that you know you can do in your own faith that God has called you to do and that you believe to be true, and that's why you do it. Not because you're trying to get accepted by somebody else, you're not trying to prove something to somebody else, you're not trying to gain value or understanding or change other people to your liking. In fact, one of the things I noticed more often than not, and I experienced this, I think every Christian experiences this early on in their faith, is that guys who are in the program, they've been there probably more than 42 days, and they've had some good growth, and they're spiritually, and they're gaining knowledge. And one of the things that comes with that is you start recognizing all the things around you that are not what they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And maybe you didn't notice those things before because they were so common to you, because you yourself were doing them. But now you've gravitated towards the other side of the street, and you're now looking across the street, and you're going, wow, I mean— And you're not even saying to yourself, well, I have grace for them because I used to do that same stuff. You're just saying, man, they shouldn't be doing that. Mm. You know, God didn't teach us that. And, you know, you get frustrated. And we can do that with the people that we love, too. And God says, no, that's not the way you do it. And, man, I see it happens a lot with marriages where the spouse was really hurt, but yet they haven't left the person who's coming into our program. And we do a lot of family counseling, you know, as recovery coaches, as well as working with the student. And we do our best to try to create hope in those situations and present things that are going on that show recovery, but that the other person just isn't ready to receive it yet. They're still so angry, still so bitter. They still don't trust the other person. And they're almost just waiting, like in ambush, for the person to do something wrong so they can just point out that they'll never be able to trust them again and why this relationship has to end. And that's unfortunate. But I will say that there's still hope even in those situations. And the way you tackle that kind of adversity is by doing the thing that God calls you to do in stillness. You do what God's asking you to do. And you receive like a punching bag sometimes, if you have to, the things that come at you in adversity. And you receive them out of love. And you say, I understand how you feel that way.
Yeah. So here's what I think ultimately. It's like, hey, is your trust in God or man? You know, so am I able to do this stillness? And if so, it's because I trust that what God says is true and his promises are real. And it's believing in that. So it's faith and trust is the words we're using. But as we opened it, we talked about it, especially for men. And as we've kind of fleshed this out, it hit me too. I'm about to say an area that it is for all. Right. And it's for men and women, but this area of being still really encapsulate humans. And so when we say adversity, we say, I mean, it could be anything.
Challenge,
loss, arguments, job, whatever it is. And an example of not being still is worry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And man, that addiction, not addiction, you know, whatever. I mean, if you're listening to this, never had an addiction, I think we just hit you, right? We're stepping on your toes because we're stepping on our toes, right? But worry, and you are not being still. And what does the verse in Psalm say? Be still and know that I am God, right? Mm-hmm. My name will be proclaimed in all the nations, right? Be still and know that I am God. And so when you are worrying, it is yet again, it's the lack of trust. And worry and anxiety and that kind of stuff, it just cripples us as believers. And it is I think maybe more so than anything, maybe the number one robber, thief of our stillness, right? Mm-hmm. Our peace inside of what God's called us to in the face of adversity. And it gets us nowhere.
Yeah. And I'll just say, kind of, we spoke about paradoxes in the last episode, and the Bible's full of them. And I think what is so hard to understand in these things, and what I mean by paradox, is the opposite of what you think to be true. And it's really the opposite and that kind of thing. It's flipping the switch. It's upside down from what you thought it was. You have to be blind to see, you know, you have to be weak to be strong, these kind of things. Is that we tend to think that when we're doing those things that we're not doing anything, but we actually are doing something, actually more powerful than what we probably would have done. And let me give you an example. Is somebody says something, you know, hurtful to me, and I want to say something back to them, right? And I don't.
That's being still.
Right, but that's doing something.
That's very much so doing something.
Right, and so that's what I'm talking about. And the Bible's full of how our tongue is one of the most evil things.
Yeah.
And at the same time, we can use it to glorify God and we can use it to help to cause people to stumble. 1 Peter 3:10 says, "For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech." If I'm not doing that, then I'm seeing good days. If I'm not doing that, I'm loving life. Those are things that I am doing. And in that stillness, in the midst of somebody's adversity towards me, and I don't say anything, and maybe instead what I do is I replace it with words of kindness.
Yeah.
You know? Or I can just simply say, I understand.
Yeah.
You know? And I walk away. And I'm not there to defend myself. I'm not. Over time, what happens, or what should happen, is that the person who is your adversary starts to see that there actually has been change in your life because you weren't doing that stuff before.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, what do we do instead of worry? We pray.
Yeah.
What do we do instead of being fearful? We seek fellowship with others. What do we do instead of thinking the worst? We have gratitude and thankfulness.
Yeah. And so let's even dive deeper in that, man, because now we're talking to the planet, right? Mm-hmm. We're not talking to just our alumni, although we are. When that fear, depression, anxiety, uneasiness, worry comes, what do you do? Well, Bruce hit it on the head. You pray, you dive in, you seek God. But here's what I want to tell you. Don't hide it and run from it. Acknowledge that I am worrying about this and it is something inside of me and it should be an indicator that, okay, why am I not trusting God here? I've seen him do big things. And allow that moment, that feeling, that thief of your stillness, of your peace, allow that to be an indicator that through this depression right now, I'm going to press in to God. Mm-hmm. Through this worry, I'm going to press in to God. Allow it to be the conviction that it needs to be. Come in and draw you back to a place of God and let him be your blanket, right? Let him be your warmth. Let him be your stillness. Let that still, small voice just pierce your heart. And press into it. Don't run from it and don't woe is me it. Don't be a victim.
Yeah, exactly. I'll give you one real example without using any names. There was somebody that I was coaching in the program at one time, and this could be actually many people because it's the same scenario. The person was married. The marriage was in a bad situation because of the addiction, because of the person coming into our program. And the things that he's done, you know. And so the spouse, the wife was, you know, questioning everything. And in learning their relationships, working with both of them, although the wife wasn't the one that was dealing with addiction, there were some things in her life that she hasn't dealt with that was causing problems in the relationship also. Of course, she's not willing to look at that because what's apparent is the addiction and the bad things that happened out of that caused most of the havoc, you know. And as the man, you know, was growing in his faith and learning objectivity and new perspective, you know, he was having to deal with the fact that knowing that his wife still hasn't dealt with those things, and those things were still going to be there when he got home, right? And we talked about what he was going to do about it. And absolutely, he was right that the woman, the wife in this situation, needed to grow, needed to learn some things, needed to understand what she was doing as a partner in the relationship. And he wanted so badly to point those things out to her, right? And his argument to me all the time was, if these things aren't fixed, then the marriage is never going to work. And I agreed with that. I told him, I said, you know, you're right. You're right. Eventually, if those things don't change in her, then there's always going to be problems. But right now is not the time to deal with that stuff. And you have to trust that God is totally aware of this stuff and that God wants your marriage to work. And that if you put your trust in him and be still about those things and focus on the things that God is having you do right now, then those things have a better chance of working themselves out. And there might be a time in the future, out of love, you might be able to approach that with her once she's learned to trust you again, once she sees what's the sincerity of what's happened to you in your life, and once she knows that you're not coming at her out of a combative way to put her down because you're better than her and all this kind of stuff, that there will be a proper place for those things.
Yet
he still just struggled, almost to the point where it's like, man, I had to give him like things to count, like to be still and to do, you know, so that he wouldn't do those things. But I just want to say that, man, his agenda was righteous.
Yeah.
But the way he wanted to go about doing it wasn't.
Yeah.
And so that's what I mean by being still in adversity. I mean, and that could come out of somebody that you don't know at all, that a complete stranger that comes at you out of adversity, and you just want to, man, this guy is totally wrong. You know he's wrong, and you just want to put him in his place, right?
Yeah.
But you just can't do that.
He's like, hey, bro. 4 weeks ago, you're shooting heroin. You're not Dr. Phil right now.
Right.
Be still and listen.
And so, man, I can only tell you from my own testimony that when my wife and I finally got back together after a year of my recovery and walking out my faith, living in sobriety and loving the Lord and doing my best at being righteous, that when I moved back into my own house with my wife, right?
Yeah.
Man, I had to be a punching bag.
Yeah.
And what ended up actually happening, and this is the most beautiful thing, is that my wife, because of the way I used to be, was always in a protective, you know, mode, and always in a survival mode with me. There were things in her life that she never allowed herself to deal with. You know, her own baggage, her own hurt and trauma.
Yeah.
That when she finally saw that she could trust me, when she finally saw the sincerity of what God had done in my life, and she was seeing the things I was doing out of love towards her, that she allowed herself to come out of that mode of survival and protective because she could actually trust the man that she always wanted to trust. Mm. She fell apart, dude. She went crazy. She, God was starting to show her the things in her life that she had to deal with. Mm. And she fell apart, man. And what I thought was getting better got completely bad for a period of time. Mm. And God showed me a new way to love her. And it wasn't because I was going to point out all these bad things that she was doing. It was because, man, I had to recognize, look, well, now it's her turn. Now it's her turn to fall apart and for me to be there for her and to be the punching bag again. Because things were coming out just out of anger and just because she was going crazy.
Yeah.
Because she was in denial about the things she had to deal with. And, you know, like most people, you know, when you're in denial, you play a victim and you just want to hurt the next person next to you, you know? And I had to take that stuff. But that's what happens in relationships. That's what happens when brokenness finds hope. That's what happens when clarity comes out of darkness, you know? And you just have to, you have to deal with that. You have to be still in those moments and know that God is at work. And live out the way things God's calling you to live out, knowing that that's going to be your best outcome, not to fight it. You know?
Yeah, let me add to that, just in the aspect of the verbiage being a punching bag. So what Bruce is explaining is something from a very mature Christian man perspective that God's led to that, and being that for his home, his wife. So just be clear, because what we're not advocating for is that you just get beat up all the time.
Right? Or most definitely not physical harm. I don't
know. Well, no, yeah. I don't even mean emotional or verbal. Just hear us say that. We feel like we have to clarify that, even though the last episode we talked about was objectivity and truth. Please understand what we're not saying is that you're going to be a emotional punching bag for your spouse the rest of your life. No, there's boundaries and things like that that are set up, but God gave him a peace. You heard him say that. And so he knew the limitations of that. So just be aware.
Yeah. Know? I had to walk away a lot of times, you know, it wasn't, I just stood there and took it. I had to walk away and I had to go in the room and I had to pray for her.
And if he wasn't being shown fruit of walls being torn down in his wife's life or whatever the situation, it wasn't something that he was just doing because, oh, well, this is my life now. This is just always going to be this way. This is just it because I deserve it. No, he knew what God was doing or not.
Or had hope.
Yeah. He saw what God was doing. Right. So, but yeah. Being still in adversity is a hard thing, guys. That's the time we have for today. That's the episode. But just think, trust God, lean in right now. If you're worrying, if you're angry, if whatever the response is because of adversity in your life, allow it to be an indicator. Press into what God says, his promises, his love.
And don't lose heart. Have hope.
Yes.
That God is a good God and that his outcomes are meant to be good, not bad. Get out of the ditch of thinking, man, that this is just going to go on forever and it's just going to get worse and worse. And have some faith.
Yeah.
At least have some hope. Time will tell.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Good episode. This is Life After Addiction.
Amen.
Life After Addiction is a production of S2L Recovery. If you have any questions you'd like answered on the podcast, email them to info@springtolife.net. That's info@spring2life.net. And for more information on addiction recovery, visit s2lrecovery.org.
God kept calling my heart. Like, I just knew he was my safe place.
I hope people don't walk away going, wow, you're really awesome. More than like, wow, Jesus is really interesting. And he's really awesome.
Everybody on this planet is dealing with some sort of what if.
How does that one courageous decision affect the whole world?
A ship in harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are built for. If you were encouraged by what you just heard, please search Trevor Talks on your favorite podcast platform or lifeaudio.com.